This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Welcome to the program. Today, it's great to see you, and it's great to be here without Jeffy. Jeffy is not here.
Let's take a look. Is Jeffy here? Jeffy? Hello? Nope, apparently not. So,
can we implement the old footage today? Because that worked a lot better than having Jeffy here.
Right? Oh, no. He's just arrived on the scene. Oh, my. Oh, jeez.
Oh, there we go. Look, he's offended at what you're saying. Look at that. Look at that.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Welcome to the program, Jeffy. And thank you for showing up right near the beginning of the show today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Only a few minutes late. That was really good.
A few minutes?
Really good.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. Really good. It's more than we expect from you on a regular basis. Whoa. So thank you. Hillary Clinton.
I mean, it is a long walk. You know, it's a long walk from where we just were in the radio studio.
Today, my friends, I had to walk all the way around.
Don't say that.
I wasn't able to take the
shortcut. Please don't say that. Nobody carried you. No one carried you.
It's amazing.
Nobody helped you.
I will say, Jeffy, it did teach me one important lesson in my life. Well, two. Number one, the real way to become fat is when you're full, you continue to
push through it, man.
You push through it. That's number one.
That's his main theme.
The second most important lesson Jeffy taught me was never run to a microphone.
Never.
Yes.
My gosh.
And in this case,
because then you're.
You'd rather be late than run to the microphone.
Stu.
Right.
So you're out of breath.
And of course, with us, I mean, running two steps and we're like that.
Oh, if I even think about running, I'm out of breath.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, if you dream that you're going for a job.
I wake up and I can't breathe.
Okay.
I can't breathe.
Hillary Clinton, it's an interesting area of polling right now. It's all right around where you would expect it to be for a, you know, 5-point lead for Hillary Clinton.
Is it now?
Yeah. There's some polls that have her up between 8 and 10. Some polls that have it really close. It's all pretty consistent with that idea. Hillary Clinton is maintaining her lead over Donald Trump in a Monmouth University poll. Their edge has narrowed since the political conventions. And another poll out Monday has the race tied. Clinton's lead over Trump stands at 7 percentage points, 49-42, in the new Monmouth survey. She was up 13. This is one of those polls. She was up 13. But the LA Times, which is we've been talking about for a while, and they release a poll every day, so there's always a new result. Again, right. Has it tied 44-44. It's been very favorable for Trump. Could be right. We don't know. The Emerson poll has some of the similar attributes to this LA Times poll, some differences as well. But that has a more favorable leaning for Trump, too. So maybe there's something in the methodology that is giving that result. And again, we don't know. That could be the correct methodology. Maybe Trump is that close. You know, the state polling is not showing it yet.
We don't. No, we don't know. We just don't know.
I mean, obviously.
Did they sum it up there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean, as far as polling is concerned, I mean, why this is happening and what exactly is going on, we just don't know.
I think we have a good idea.
But we don't know.
Well, no, we can't know.
For sure.
Poll has a margin of error, so you're never going to know.
We can't know.
You can't.
And we don't know. No. We don't know because we can't know yet. When will we know?
November
8th.
We will know.
Or 9th.
Or maybe 9th.
Until but then?
And
we don't know.
Don't know. We don't know.
All right. Not sure where to.
I don't know why I cut off on that.
No, topic, it's a good.
Frankly.
It's a good point. It's true. I mean, I will say it's true.
The words of Bill Murray from Ghostbusters were going through my head.
Right.
We just don't know. kept repeating.
Okay. Blaze has a story about a new poster about Hillary Clinton, and it's from this guy. He did a Sabo. The artist.
Oh, boy.
He did a...
this is the guy who did the really buffed Ted Cruz with the tats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here is Hillary, and I don't know if she looks as buff.
So why did he blur out the...
I don't think he blurred it out.
Oh, okay. So mm-hmm. That's not part of the art. He
the
actually did her
blur.
Naked? Is that right? No. Oh, she's tatted up.
That's a more revealing one.
Eugenics?
She's tatted up, but I mean, I think the issue here is the breast placement, which I would say is low.
It's very low.
Even for Hillary. But that may be
I don't think it's as low as it probably is.
That's true.
I thought he just made her, like, you know, anatomically incorrect. No. He actually.
It's a little saggy. In this particular poster, gravity has won.
That's really funny.
Gravity always wins and is out to a large lead. In this particular poll, gravity
is
winning.
That's not a lead. The war is over there.
Yes, I think you're probably right
on
that one. There are 20 posters featuring the unflattering image of Hillary all around Los Angeles. The woman is a Solilinsky-trained beast who has zero regard for the unborn and the law, Sabo said of the poster on his website.
I mean, that is true.
She is all about the Benjamins, girl power, and death. What is she holding behind her back? A knife, a gun, or the head of Bernie Sanders?
Wow.
We don't know. We just don't know.
I will say this. He's bold, and it's nice to have somebody bold. We just don't know. Can we tell someday? No, not on this one.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We just don't know.
And there's no way to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It is nice to have somebody who's
Bold and in their face. Because we get this crap every day from the left, every day, and so it's nice to have somebody just say, yeah. How do you like it?
Well, somebody pointed out, because this past weekend, there was a release of a movie, I think it was called South Side and Me.
Yeah.
Was...
How'd that do, by the way? I didn't see it in the top 10.
Not well. Not well.
It did not look good, I will say. It did not look like a good movie.
Because we're a racist country as well.
Maybe.
Well.
Yeah, maybe that's
it. If it would have been a white president, that would have been a $200 million movie.
Well,
they made
a movie about a white president, the last one we had, which was George W. Bush, and he was murdered in it.
Oh, and that made $500 billion.
That didn't do well either.
In its first weekend.
But still, it's one of those situations look at the way the outgoing president is treated. George W. Bush is murdered, and Obama gets here's a great first date movie.
Hey, look at this romantic thing his wife did.
Pretty bad, though.
I will say this, though. I'm surprised at the lack of buzz there is for it. I mean, nobody's even talking about it. Nobody cares.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes on that, Jeffy? Any idea? Because my guess is it's not... It just didn't look good. And in the commercial, like, by producer John Legend. You mean the
singer?
Okay. Why
he's not a movie producer.
Right. I mean, maybe you should hire a real producer.
Yeah.
It's outside with you. It did not do well.
How much?
I was looking at it was like 3 million.
I mean, it was only an 800
That's more
theaters.
Than I thought.
Million. It came in number 14.
14th.
It was only in 800 theaters, so that's not a lot. But still, surprising. You know, it's a movie about the president.
Right. And it's supposedly a wildly popular one among certain segments of society, especially so you would think people would go to it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of would have assumed it to get a little bit more. I mean, it finished...
92%?
It got 92%.
Potato meter?
It got 92%. Now, that's weird that
audience
they would have...
Audience score 56.
It's weird they would have a potato meter on Rotten Tomatoes. I never seen that feature. Is that different than the tomato meter?
Yes, it is.
Okay. the potato meter, and the potato meter says 92%. I wonder if it has. It doesn't have a lot of reviews. I don't know. Let's see if I can find
100 reviews.
Wow! So people did like it.
Yeah. People did like it.
92%.
Yeah, but what about the critics?
No, that's the critics.
Oh, that is critics?
Yeah.
92% of critics like the movie?
But the audience didn't like it. That also, though, could be because a lot of people who are in the audience are conservatives and don't want to say that they, even if they didn't see it, are probably like, screw Barack Obama,
yeah, maybe,
putting it down.
Right. Maybe.
So I don't know if you can tell.
I mean, that's what happens to Glenn.
You go to Dinesh D'Souza, too.
And Dinesh. You look at the reviews of their books, and it's all fives and ones. Because the ones probably didn't even read the book, just hate his guts. And so they just give him a one. And
That goes both ways.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's the same thing. Those ridiculous polls from PPP today, where it was like, what do you like better, like the bubonic plague or Donald Trump?
Right.
I guess as most people would rather have Donald Trump than have the bubonic plague that's killed. I mean, I don't even know if Donald Trump is capable of killing as many people as the bubonic plague did. Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, I'm not going to lock myself into that opinion. I feel like it's a 51-49.
Well, we don't know.
But we don't know.
We just don't know.
We don't know.
This is kind of interesting because the New York Times called for a Democrat presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, to immediately distance herself from the controversial Clinton Foundation in an op-ed. Now, when does the New York Times ever call on a Democrat candidate to do anything that they don't want to do? That's fascinating to me. The editorial board at the Times argued that the pay-to-play allegations Clinton Foundation donors were rewarded with access to her have still not been satisfactorily proven. Still, the emails and previous reporting suggest Trump has reason to say that while she was secretary, it was hard to tell where the foundation ended and the State Department began. They at least give Trump that much of credit that he's right about that. Clinton Foundation has already announced that it will stop taking foreign donations if she wins the nomination. Times argues that's not enough. Quote, a wiser course would be to ban contributions from foreign and corporate entities now. If Mrs. Clinton wins, Bill and Chelsea Clinton should both end their operational involvement in the foundation and its affiliates for the duration of her presidency, relinquishing any control over spending, hiring, and board appointments. Now, I will tell you, we have a dumb little school that we started purchased and changed and started running.
Is that how you advertise it? The dumb little school?
Yeah, dumb little school.
Okay.
But compared to this foundation that has billions of dollars in it, and my school where it became a nonprofit, and we all of a sudden, we don't own it anymore. We're not the controlling interest. We have a board now. We answer to people now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When it's a nonprofit, nobody owns it.
Right.
So there are certain precautions you take so that nothing looks bad, and so that when you receive donations, it doesn't look like you're receiving them to yourself, that you're spending money, other people's money that they've given for the school, and you've taken it and you're on vacation in Bermuda or something. I mean, they're not doing any of these things. We've bent over backwards not to even make it look like we're doing, like we have very much involvement anymore because we don't want to make it look bad. And Clinton is receiving donations of tens and hundreds of millions of dollars from foreign entities, and she and her husband and their daughter are still heavily involved in the operational control of this thing. How do you not remove yourself from that? Bring in a board and say, look, we don't have anything to do with it anymore. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, because it's not, with charities in particular, it is not about doing right and wrong. It's about
appearances. Just the appearance.
Wrong. Just the appearance, because honestly, no one understands the financing of charities. There's
anything that you do that looks the least bit suspicious, they'll beat you to death with.
Yeah. I mean, I can promise you this. One of the decision I've made after all the years of observing this business, I will never start my own charity ever. I will
tough,
give
man.
Money to charities.
It's tough.
I will invest in other people running them. I will do my due diligence and try to figure out what organizations are best and give my money there. I will never run it. Never.
Because
it's too ridiculous. You can, even when with good intentions, the best of intentions, you can still get screwed by the complications of these laws.
Right. Oh, and yes,
then,
you can.
And then
yes,
you look you like you're screwing a charity.
I mean, we got a donation that was sizable to us, but it certainly wouldn't, you know, obviously to the Clintons.
They wouldn't
like
even
a
notice
penny.
It. Yeah, yeah.
It's a hay penny.
Right.
But it was sizable to, and it was somebody in our church that we know. And so I'm like, geez, we've got to take them out to dinner. We got to do something really. Nope. You can, our business person who knows right. tax law and all that, mm-hmm. you can't do that. You can't do anything reciprocal there. Like, we can't take them out to dinner for that donation? We can't thank them in it? No.
Bizarre. Wow. Okay. I mean, okay. That's just nuts.
And that's just my school.
Right.
With, you know, 50 kids in it.
I hate to point this out as well, Pat. You are not a few days away from being president of the United States either.
that's very true,
you know?
Stu. And that's something we do now know. Do know it is official. I'm not going to be president. Yeah,
still
of the United
time
States.
To file. Still time to file in certain states. But yeah, I mean that's what I mean. Like the scrutiny on someone like Hillary Clinton, who knew she was obviously right. running for this entire time they were running this charity, the fact that they would not go through these extra loopholes. I mean, people are going through and trying to figure out what the hell the Clinton Foundation actually does. It does not appear to actually do anything for anyone. It seems to be
it
a
really
clearance house
like
for
it.
Money.
Right.
Like you dump a bunch of money in there and they give it to other charities.
The thing they always point to is Haiti. And when you go to the Haitians, they're not fans. No. They are not fans of the Clintons or their foundation because there's no evidence their money did anything for the Haitians. So even where they brag about, well, look at what we did for Haiti. They're like, I don't know what the evidence is that you did anything for us. So, yeah, and yet they've gotten completely away with it. And they continue to thumb their nose at the American citizens and say, we're still in front. We're still heading this organization. We're still making the decisions. We're still the people. We're still the owners. We're still the operational control of this thing. How do you do that? I really don't know. It's inconceivable to me.
I
keep using that word.
It means what you think it means.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. 888-727-BECK. More patents, too, coming up.
We've talked about preparedness many times.
When? And, when? Name one time.
Yesterday.
Okay.
And we talk about it in the terms of, you know, natural disaster, global tensions are on the rise, terrorist attacks are mm-hmm. possible, and just, you know, food chain disruption.
Yeah.
Any of that can happen. We talked to My Patriot Supply because we've offered... they come up with great offers all the time, and usually they're to get you started. Maybe you're the type of person that is like me, when basically my entire life that would have depended on soy sauce in an emergency and some duck sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Now of Chick-fil-A, we have a lot of extra Polynesian sauce from the kids' chicken McNuggets that I could survive on for
that's
a
really
while.
Really good, yeah.
But it's all kind of your first step in the preparation bandwagon, you've done a lot more than that.
Yes, and it's true that some people may want more than Polynesian sauce. To prepare.
I don't know if people haven't had it.
Yes, that is true. And what, like you said, what's great about My Patriot Supply is that they'll offer, you know, 3 days. You can take care of your family for 3 days. You can do a week. You can do 2 weeks. You can do 6 weeks. Or in this particular case, and this was something we specifically asked them for, because there's a lot of people who just want to take care of this in one fell swoop. Maybe they, you know, procrastinated for a long time. And now they're to the place where they can do this and they want to do this and just have that peace of mind. So this week only, exclusively for our show, the Pat and Stu Show, you can buy a one year food supply for $997.
Did you say $997?
That's exactly what I said, Stu. $997.
That's an extreme savings. A year's worth of food for less than $1,000. You're not going to be able to do that anywhere. And of course, it's, I think, at least it's basically almost half price of what
yes.
they normally offer it for. So,
yep.
Again, it's this week only. You got to act this week because they're not going to extend this for you because, they don't
can't.
Like us that much.
Yeah, they
so they're not going to do that. 888-411-4782.
They've got Jack raving mad, and the manager's out of town for this week only.
I think that's what happened.
That's what happened. 888-411-4782. 888-411-4782. Or go online with preparewiththeblaze.com. It's preparewiththeblaze.com.
Do it now before they come back to their senses.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.
By the way, Donald Trump, 17 press conferences this year. Hillary Clinton, zero. 17
is more?
It's going to be more. It's going to be more, significantly more.
Than zero?
Than zero.
Okay.
Just in case you were wondering.
Appreciate that clarification.
About that number.
Because that's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't just throw numbers like that out of context.
Because a lot of people haven't taken this new Common Core math, and they don't know.
No, I don't think it's is traditional math.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's not Common Core.
Okay,
it's 17 is bigger than zero.
I'm going to look into that.
Okay. You do run a school, so.
Yes.
Or you used to run a school.
Yes. I'm now just kind of an innocent bystander.
It is a stupid little school, after all.
Yeah, it's a stupid little school. You're right. Yeah. I don't think my wife would appreciate that particular description
definitely.
Of it.
That's why I drew some attention to it, to make sure
so
people.
So hard on it.
Yeah.
Stanford Safe Space now is going to happen because it's going to debut this fall.
Good.
Even as the University of Chicago is saying there's going to be no safe spaces for you little douchebags. You're going to have to just deal with opposing points of view. Sorry.
I know. It's crazy.
And then they went nuts. They literally went nuts over that, and they were screaming about their academic freedom. Well, wait a minute. That's what they're ensuring. By not having safe spaces and allowing you to hear contrasting points of view, that's part of your academic freedom, you dummies. Just send them home. Just send them home. I hope they have the giblets to do that. If they get a rash of crap from these students over this, send them home. But will they do that? No, because they want the money, right? They want the tuition. But Dean of Students at John Ellison, University of Chicago, stirred that controversy last week. But now Stanford's Committee on Diversity and Inclusion has been working on setting up a physical safe space. According to Catherine Wetton, who's the co-chair and research professor of global health at Stanford, the room, called the Stanford Safe Space, which is very, very creative, will make its debut this year.
And it's Stanford, correct? Not Stanford.
Oh, it is Stanford.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a very good thing. I'm
sure
I'm glad
Stanford will do it too. But
probably, but
Stanford.
You're right. This is Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Sanford's
in,
help
me out with Sanford University.
It's Duke's Sanford School of Public Policy, which I know, because,
which is why the Duke Chronicle came out with this story.
Right. And it's interesting because I think.
So
normally,
this is essentially Duke.
Yeah. A branch of Duke. I guess. Mm-hmm. Normally we would have a photo of two 19-year-olds going to college with books. So you'd understand what it looked like for college students to attend
college.
But
apparently they couldn't find that. And Duke.
So we actually got actual information on the board today, so thank
good.
You for that.
That was helpful.
The program is intended to serve, they love us, the program is intended to serve more of a general concept, although the physical location still holds some value. In addition to the safe space, the Sanford School is looking to set up a discussion series throughout the year. We'll tackle issues of free speech, microaggressions, and challenges like policing that are being grappled with worldwide.
Microaggressions are not aggressions. Okay. I'm just going to say.
You know, I don't. Let me throw another concept out there. I don't think they're anything.
Not
aggressions.
They're not
a thing.
You're right.
They're just nothing.
You're right.
It's just a bunch of people whining.
Yes.
And about nothing.
Which I'm pretty tired of.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
We got to deal with Jeffy all the time, who does things that are much worse. They're macro aggressions against society.
Yes. It's very true.
Is that, are those provable?
Yeah, just your presence. All that stuff.
He says is true.
Okay, so.
Have you been censored on Facebook? Why does it say censored on Facebook behind you? Yeah, I mean, you should be. But.
They better not censor me. What the? Oh, my gosh.
He's going to go check his page. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. Let's come back with more here in just a minute on the Pat and Stu, you know, thing that we do. All right.
A strong new theory that we're working on right now.
Well, it's about the, I mean, we've been talking about safe spaces and the unfairness of you know, what the police do,
white privilege and all that,
kill people for no reason other than they just don't like them.
We've stumbled onto the most incredible fact maybe in this century,
and this, you're never going to read about this in your history books. You're never going to see it.
You should, but you're not going to.
You're not going to, because they're going to keep this from you. But no, there's no way to know. Don't know. We, at this point, we just don't know. But right. What we do know is that no white person has ever died.
No white person has ever died.
Has ever died. And they're going to keep that from you. They're going to make it look like they're gonna, a lot of fake deaths.
Right.
A lot of crisis actors at funerals. That's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. Now, you might say, well, you know, for instance, I could say, well, my dad died. Where is he?
Sadly, mine too.
I mean, like 19 years ago, he died, and I haven't seen him since. Are you saying he just left me? And my mom?
Well, he went to a giant. Let's say, you know, you said you're bored at your school, like they oversee the school. Uh-huh. There's a board of white people that oversee the racism in the earth, and that's where your dad is now. I hate to break it to you.
Wow.
He's voting down individual black lives every day.
And the person or thing in the casket I saw was
an actor.
Crisis actor.
Either an actor.
And that crisis actor is pissed after we dumped him in that hole and put the dirt over it.
Well, he didn't die. Is he white?
Yeah, he's white.
Thank you.
So he came out.
He came out. That's
what happens when you leave the gravesite, is they come out of there.
Right. Did you actually look in the casket in the ground?
Right.
There's a complicated tunnel system.
I don't need to break it down, but I mean,
Stu, you're not supposed to talk about it.
You have been reading a lot of Prison Planet, haven't you?
Well, there's a war for your mind.
Really?
About information. Wow. And there's a planet that is an entire planet's a prison. And you live on it. Let that settle in for a second.
All right.
You live on it. All the white people are alive. They're all running stuff.
Wow.
You said 19 years ago?
Yeah.
Could have been a mannequin. A lot of times.
Could, really?
Yeah, because more recently they're all actors. But back in the day.
Looks a lot like my dad.
A lot
like him.
Well, I mean, you know who runs the whole thing?
No.
A white person, and that person knows how to make mannequins. You ever see the movie Mannequin?
No, I missed that super classic.
Mannequin.
That's why I didn't see Mannequin 2,
because
I missed the first one.
See, Mannequin, they tipped their hand a little bit there.
Did they?
That's them telling you no white people have ever died. If you watch that movie, you can see now that you know.
They do that. Hollywood does that.
Yeah. Because look at the woman, right? Uh-huh. She's a mannequin, then she's alive, and she's a real person.
Right.
And then she's back to a mannequin. That simulates death. What happens at the end? She's alive. They're telling you guys. And then Mannequin 2, which
we're so stupid that we don't pick up on these things.
Right. And like, so a lot of people were like, oh, that first movie was about a mannequin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, here comes Mannequin 2. It's another movie about a mannequin. And they were like, wait a minute. These people are so stupid. They're not picking up the fact that this is just a secret way of telling you that all white men and women have, they're all alive, is is they just put T-O-O. It was Mannequin T-O-O. Like, here's another mannequin. This isn't a different story. We're making the exact same movie with different actors and acting like we came up with something new.
And we just keep buying it.
They're trying to tell you.
Man, oh man.
That was straight. I mean, if you look at it, the Illuminati is on the money in the movie. If you look at one of the dollar bills in the movie, You can see the symbol for the Illuminati.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's on
I
our
know.
Money.
I know.
It's on our money.
I know. Yes!
Have you ever seen
finally,
the pyramid with the eye
finally,
above it?
That's what I'm saying. Finally, he's understanding. And, yeah. and we've been talking about this so long. We've been talking about the frog, the gay frogs. We've been talking about a huge issue with the fish people. And then there's the pickle controversy. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that. But I notice you don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
He doesn't want to talk about the pickle controversy.
Nobody wants to talk about
pickle
the pickle.
Gate.
Right. When Hillary opened the pickle jar?
Yeah, yes!
Yeah. They're calling that a conspiracy.
God.
But it was
That's
a jar.
They are.
They're calling it. And it was a jar. That was my thought, Jeffy. Well, wait. That was a jar of pickles,
it was
a
jar.
Oh, thank you.
Meaning the can was opened.
Right.
A jar.
Right.
Like a door is a jar.
Oh, wow. That is deep. I mean, you know, for surface stuff, it's deep surface.
We keep trying to bring up these points about the globalists and no one listens.
No, okay? They don't. Except for Alex. Alex knows.
Oh, yeah.
Our friend Alex knows. And he's
been providing some of the information on these topics. I'm not going to say that he's my only source, but he's... He's a large source. I mean, he's large. He's not in good shape, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, he's on testosterone and
my manly physique. I'm on testosterone. All right. I don't know how we got on that.
I don't either.
But it was good. I think that's something. Someone needs to come up with a website exposing how Mannequin and Mannequin 2 point you to the obvious fact that no white people have ever died.
Yes, I agree. And you could also include the Gulf of Tonkin in there.
Well, that's where Mannequin was first conceived.
Yes.
Was at the Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, everyone knows that, right?
Right, like, from LBJ. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. On to another conspiracy. Is apparently Dancing with the Stars is trying to ruin our country. Am I right, Jeffy?
Well, just think of this. What does Ryan Lochte, Lori Hernandez, Amber Rose...
Okay, Lori Hernandez, for those who may not be in the know, one of the final five gymnasts who did so well, am I right?
Yes.
Who did so well in the Olympics this time.
The great Amber Rose.
The United States. Okay, Amber Rose, I don't know who that
is. She's a former model, talk show host.
Okay.
Texas Governor Rick Perry are on the next edition of Dancing.
That is unbelievable. Now, Lochte makes a lot of sense.
Perfect guy for this.
Perfect for that. Rick Perry is doing Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, he's obviously given up on political
dignity.
Oh, my gosh.
He's obviously given up on dignity.
And I have missed the last two.
Oh, man.
The last two that I need to add to this year's edition, this season's edition of Dancing with the Stars. from Brady Bunch, Maureen McCormick.
Holy cow, she's got to be 55, 60 years old.
And if that wasn't enough,
yeah,
Vanilla Ice.
Oh, now Ice is an actual dancer. I mean, that's a little unfair.
That's
right?
A lot unfair. The guy made his living in part on dancing.
It's gonna be, it's a star-studded cast.
Well, he's going to win that one. Maureen McCormick, she was Marsha Brady.
Marsha, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that's an all-star
that
studded.
That is, man.
I guess in our world, Rick Perry is the most notable part of that, which is weird because, I mean, I guess, you know, look, he ran for president twice. He didn't win. Didn't really get very far in either one of those things. And I cannot, you know, there is word about him. That some people are tossing around Rick Perry as a challenger to Ted Cruz for the Senate seat. That is one of the things people are tossing around. I don't know if he is. I mean, he obviously endorsed Cruz.
Yeah, which would be
weird. But again, he also has completely...
If he primaried Cruz, that would be weird.
He has completely changed,
Trump.
I mean, when he was saying that he was running... When he started off running as himself for his own candidacy, endorsing himself, obviously, saying that Donald Trump was cancer. Then he supported Ted Cruz because Donald Trump was still cancer. Now he's supporting wholeheartedly Donald Trump. So, I mean, I don't know. He may be one of those guys that, you know, this might wind up playing out. If Trump is to win, which is obviously an uphill battle at this point, but if he is to pull this thing off, maybe there is a pathway for Perry there. I don't know.
Here's the thing I've noticed about Rick Perry is that every once in a while, and it's usually about when I've started to like him again, he does something unbelievably stupid that makes me dislike him again.
We're talking about Rick Perry.
We're talking about Rick Perry.
Very hot and cold on Rick Perry.
Very hot and cold.
Yes.
Really like him. I mean, he's an interesting guy.
He's had a fascinating life.
Fascinating. And sometimes he's super strong on issues. Sometimes you think, okay, he gets it again. He's back. That's the guy I voted for initially. And then all of a sudden, he's like, no, I wholeheartedly believe in partial birth abortion. What? Like, what?
Now, I would have voted for Rick Perry if he was the nominee.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
If he had won?
Yes.
He was on the group of candidates I would have been fine with. Yes. Everyone keeps going, you're just mad Cruz lost. Well, why did I have seven other candidates I would have voted for then? I don't. I mean, I guess I'm mad Cruz lost because I think he would be a good president and good
for
the country.
Weirdest thing. I mean,
but it's not like this. Like, oh, I'm testy because I was involved in the campaign. First of all, I wasn't involved in the campaign. Glenn was involved in the campaign. None of us were. We right. also, we all thought he was going to be a good president if he won. But I mean, we covered his campaign quite closely.
To be fair, I thought he was going to be a good president. You know, after my man dropped out.
Yes, I should point out that Jeffy did endorse Jim Gilmore.
Okay, so once Gilmore decided that he wasn't going to run anymore, then I was 100% behind.
And clearly, Jeffy is so pissed about Jim Gilmore that he's taking it out on Trump. But he's the only one.
Well, he knew
he's the only one.
The other thing I love is from the people who don't like anti-Trump folks that are Republican. I love the one that they say. You're lying. Well, they say this to me all the time, and I get this because of the polls. I do the polls. I come out like, the polls don't look very good for Trump right now. They say, you're lying. You won't cite any of the polls that have Trump winning, which I respond to. Can you send me one?
Yeah. Because there aren't any?
There are none.
And they believe because he's always saying, the polls are looking great. We're doing great in the polls.
Right.
So they just buy that hogwash.
So they say, he's actually winning the polls by a lot. You won't talk about those polls. I asked them to send me one. They never can.
So why aren't you talking about the poll where he's up by 47 points?
Right. They never
Why aren't you talking about that?
They never do that. And what's interesting is then they
don't reflect it back to they.
Trump is winning.
He didn't answer the question.
Why aren't you talking about it?
Why aren't you talking about it?
That's why. That's one
no,
of
the one where he's up by 47.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. There's actually a fake forgery of an internal memo of a polling company that Trump supporters are sending around.
Really?
Yeah, and they're trying to say, look! Look what's happening with the polls. And it says, our Florida poll results just came in. These are going to be heavily cleansed before release. Here are the results. Trump, 91. Clinton, 6. Like that.
No. No. No way. Seriously? So it's supposedly an internal memo from the Clinton camp.
No, it's an internal memo from the from a polling company. And so the concept
where they found out it's 91-6 in favor of Trump.
Of Trump, and that they have to cleanse the results before they release them to the public.
Of course they do. They can't.
Of course they do. They can't have it. So that's the sort of conspiracy mind that is behind Trump right now. And again, like, I know you might be supporting Trump. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who are like, the mindless. I've been with Trump from the beginning. So they're up 91-6, right? Trump is winning by, 10, 20, 30, 40 points. At the same time, they will accuse us of opposing Trump solely to make money. Now, if Trump is up 91-6, why the hell aren't we on that side?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be a lot easier to make
money
if it was 91%?
Yes.
So maybe the truth, it might just be that we actually have a problem with the principles of Donald Trump, and he's also losing.
The non-existent Cruz campaign continues to pay us untold millions.
Billions.
You should
say billions. Trillions.
It's really quadrillions.
Well, if you go back to 2015, it's quadrillions.
I thought we weren't supposed to.
Well, it's too late now. Everybody knows.
They found us out. They found us out. I mean, they all know that white people don't die, and all know.
They do.
That we've been paid quadrillions of dollars.
And they know about the Gulf of Tonkin, so we might as well go ahead.
Which, by the way, I mean, now we can, I guess, say it. We were involved. I mean, that was our thing.
It was our thing. More Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
We're like, what Gulf should we go to? You're like, Tonkin. I remember that conversation.
Remember that?
It was yesterday. And I was like, Tonkin's perfect.
And then we called LBJ.
And we were
said,
like, hey,
dude,
do the Gulf thing we're talking about, but do it in Tonkin, not in the Gulf of Mexico.
And he said, buy a Tonkin truck? No,
Gulf of Tonkin.
The Gulf of Tonkin. It's in... 888-727-DAD. According to CBS News, we can blame millennials. And I do.
For pretty much everything.
For almost everything, but especially, and we've talked about this how many times, the vanishing bar of soap. I mean, yep. If I've spoken of that once.
I do find this interesting.
Do you?
I do. Yeah. Because.
What happened to the bar of soap? Where is it?
Millennials. And I don't know what the line is.
I'm with
that.
Them, though, because I don't use bars of soap anymore. And it's been a long time. I mean, I don't think millennials.
Well, they're saying that millennials, the research says millennials 18 to 24,
yeah.
Largely snubbing the old-fashioned bar of soap, leading to sales declines for Ivory's
bar. Yeah, but why
blah,
is that?
Blah, blah.
It's because their parents started using the hand soap.
I would think so, right?
I would think so.
Sales of soap are growing, but they just not the bars. Older Americans might scoff at that belief, and there's some research that backed them up. A 1988 study found that people who washed their hands with bar soaps contaminated with bacteria didn't have a detectable level of bacteria on their hands. Because this is what the argument is. It's germophobic, basically.
Okay. Yep.
I think there's going to be some issues. They believe the bar soaps are covered in germs.
And is that not true?
Well, the 1988 study says it basically isn't true.
Although because you wash your hands with the bar of soap and you're still clean.
There are a few issues with that study, however. For one, it was backed by Dial Soap. Secondly, it was published before the spread of newer pathogens like MRSA emerged. On one hand, some health authorities are now recommending a switch to liquid soap. But 60% of Americans over the age of 65, so 60% over 65, believe it's fine to wash their faces with a bar of soap.
No.
Only 33% between 25 and 34 believe that. I mean, so you don't have any bars of soap in your house right now?
Not one. And it's been that way for a really long time.
Jeffy?
For probably 15, 16 years at least.
Jeffy?
It's got to be.
You know, no. Although I think we do. I think my father-in-law still uses bar soap in his bathroom for the most part. But I make sure that each bathroom has the
dispenser.
The dispenser.
Right?
Not just the sink, what about the showers, too?
In the shower, we use the body wash.
Yeah.
You know, the liquid body wash.
Although I think I probably still have ones that were given me from hotels, the bars of soap that they give you from the hotel.
Right, that they give you.
Yeah, uh-huh. Those. Not
I think they do give them to you, Jeffy, because if you wash them, they don't want them back.
Right.
I mean, I don't take them if I've used them. I mean, they don't give them to you if you've used them.
Okay. So that's interesting, because I do still have bars
of soap. Do you
really? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have any. I haven't used
the only place I can think of them is in the shower, though. In the shower, I have them.
I don't like using them.
Now, I also have some of these other products, the body wash
and such,
but I do use the bar of soap sometimes.
I mean, when we go into a hotel, I'm kind of weirded out that they still have the bar of soap.
Yeah, but those
I don't want to use that.
Yeah, but that's right out of the box. There can't be a problem with that.
I still don't want to use it. I'm always looking
weird.
For a...
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Brand new
it
out of the
feels,
box.
I tell you, I don't know. For some reason, I'm sadly with Pat Gray here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but do you have a
feels
reason?
No. Okay. No, I don't. Not really.
It's kind of like the bottled water thing, maybe. Or like you just like... It's obviously probably fine.
Soap snub.
I'd be surprised to see how it got started. It must be like we see it at the hospitals because they use the liquid all the time. So
I think that there is a logical progression that goes on in the mind, and that the first time there's nothing the first time you would use it that's logical about that.
Right.
But the second time, when you've already used it once, you cleaned yourself with it, and now it sits in the shower for 4 days, and then you go back in and you use it again. I can understand the logic that goes on, and that
it's kind of icky,
right? You think it was kind of icky.
Once you rinse it off, it's okay.
I mean, I can't drink out of cups. I have weird things myself.
A glass, right?
Yeah, a glass or a cup. Yeah, I don't like glass or cups. I like plastic cups. I want them to be new out of the box. I don't want them to be used before. Yeah. It weirds me out. So I mean, everyone has a weird thing like that. But what you guys are talking about is not weird. I mean, we're talking about 30% difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the age above 60,
it's pretty big
above
for
65,
above 60.
Is still 40% of people think it's not sanitary to use a bar of soap. This is obviously a dying industry.
Right.
And then the people at the bottom, two-thirds of people say it's not.
And I don't know why Procter & Gamble or Dial would care, because they all do the liquid soap.
Yeah, they don't.
Is there just not as big a profit margin in that, or they don't care?
I, I don't think they care.
They still want to use the soap. They don't want to spend the money making it anymore.
And their sales are going up. The article talks about that. So it's not hurting them per se, but it is an interesting cultural phenomenon.
It's like the bottled water thing. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's like that in a lot of ways.
I mean, it's probably more to the soap thing than the bottled water thing. You know, for me, the bottled water thing is more about, first of all, I don't like drinking water per se. Like, I don't actually enjoy it. So I'd much rather drink other things. When I'm going to drink water, I like it out of a bottle because it's convenient and I can take it on the go and screw a top on so it doesn't spill. I can bring it in the car. I can bring it to, you know, if you go to, you know, exercise or, you know, play tennis or whatever.
That's when I usually use it.
Yeah, I know,
except for here, you know, when I'm here and I'm drinking a bottle of water, but normally it's at the gym. Anyways, Stu, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you find it an interesting development in your life that when you say you go to the gym, everyone around you laughs?
Normally.
Because it's so, I mean, they don't. I don't even know why I say it. Everyone laughs because they know. I mean,
because it's so obvious he's been at the gym.
He's just a gym guy.
Right. Yeah, he's a gym rat. Mm-hmm. A lot of people call him a gym rat.
Yeah, no, they call him a rat.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, some people do drop the gym.
Another word that rhymes with rat, I've heard him called.
Thank you. A lot of people drop the R.
Is that because he's fat? Is that what you're saying? You're not saying he's fat.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, overweight.
It does make sense with what I said.
Yeah, that he's fat.
You never thought of it that way.
I've never considered you to be anything other than
fat, overweight, fat,
husky.
Okay. I've considered him just to be, you know, fat, like a fatso.
I mean, but we know the truth, obviously, is that he's athletically overweight.
Or fat.
Well, that's another way to define
whatever.
It. He's athletically, you don't need athletically for it.
Right.
All I was saying is that normally, unless I'm here, I'm drinking bottled water at the gym.
At the gym, right.
No.
No.
You're not.
You're never. No.
Stu, 888-727 back. Every once in a while, these weird abortion stories pop up from these people who love abortion so much. Abortion is almost a religion. It's more than a massive moneymaker for Planned Parenthood and other abortion mills. It's almost like a lifestyle and a religion to some of these people. And from the Irish Times, a woman who writes, "My mother tried to abort me, but I am still pro-choice."
How brave you are.
Good for you.
Wow.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Now look,
that is wonderful.
You know, obviously, there are some people who look at Jeffy and say, obviously his mom tried to abort him.
People are trying to abort him now.
Right.
Well, no, she is 693rd trimester.
Actually, she did try. Right. She was upset that she didn't try.
Okay. But I mean, people are trying now, as you point out, Pat.
Yeah.
And you know, look,
in the 693rd trimester,
you look at somebody like Jeffy and you say, "Of course, I'm pro-choice."
You do?
Yeah.
That's a normal reaction. Oh, okay. You know? I just try to get, you know. But, I mean, it's really hard to maintain your principles when you meet someone like Jeffy. You're
wait a minute,
maybe I should be for this. In fact, not even pro-choice. You just have to abort all kids.
Yeah.
You know? But, no, I mean.
Just to make sure they don't turn out like
Right, because they could. There's a 1 in a billion chance that Jeffy is the kid.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, you just go for it.
Well, if there's a 1 in a billion, that means there's 7 people like Jeffy, and we know that.
Well, okay, 1 in 7 billion.
Okay.
We love you, Jeffy. We love you.
No, come on.
Not in a traditional sense.
No.
In a sense closer to hate. in that sense.
A love that's closer to hate?
It gets much closer to hate.
Well, the line is fine between the two.
People say
not in this case, though, with you, Jeff.
For example, people say that O.J. loved Nicole.
Right. And he proved that, right?
I suppose he did.
Cutting her head off.
Right.
She's beautiful. But this precious woman and wonderful mom writes, I was maybe 14, 15, or a little older. She and her mom, me and my mom, had a fight. We had a fight, and my mom said, I should have aborted you. And I did. I was like, what? What kind of mother says that to a child? That's a good mom right there. I should have aborted you. She said, yeah, I did try to abort you with pills. This is a story that, to me, call me skeptical.
Okay.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe.
That the mother came
out. Is it possible she's making this up?
Well, first of all, it's probable, is actually.
Yes.
But the other part of it is possible, obviously. A mother could, man, they're terrible mothers.
I mean, yes, there are bad moms.
Yeah.
But even bad mothers, how often do they say to their children during a fight, I should have aborted you.
And I did, by the way.
And I did. What? And that's how I learned about it. It pissed me off because as a teenager, no one wants you. And on top of that, your mother didn't want you either. Then she laughs. Back then, politically and economically, the country wasn't in good shape. Young couples couldn't afford to have many children.
Oh my gosh.
My father had to work in another town, far from my mom, siblings. My father was a political activist, and there was always a chance he would be put in prison or would disappear. Well, with a family like that, you know, maybe the mom did say this. I don't know. My mom was one of those types to get very depressing after giving birth. Well, yeah, there's something called postpartum depression, and that's a real thing. She was already pretty depressed. When she learned she was pregnant, she was on medication, far from my dad. She couldn't afford another kid, didn't want another kid. She couldn't handle it, basically. And it was true, because after I was born, my mother couldn't take care of me for about 6 months or a year. I was raised mostly by my older brother. At maybe 2 months, she tried to abort. Went to a family doctor, wasn't legal. It would have only been legal if she was in serious physical situation, not mental. She became more depressed after I was born. She became suicidal. She was like that for a long time. So these are all the usual things that try to justify aborting babies, killing babies, because I guess you know better than God when a child should be born and when it should not, and what kind of quality of life they're going to have and what kind of quality of life they're not going to have. I mean, this is the same old stuff. We're getting these stories on a pretty regular basis where women are proud of their abortions. Women are promoting abortion. And it used to be, at least, things have changed a little bit because it used to be, I wanted to be
shameful.
Legal, safe, and rare. And they don't care about rare anymore. They don't care. They just want it to be safe, legal, and wonderful, I guess.
For being honest, they never cared about rare. They just used to at least take the time to say it.
Yeah.
They used to take the time because
they don't even bother with that anymore.
They don't even bother anymore. Except, I mean, that's like almost like the old school, like, you know, Harry Reid at one point, you know, he was 100% voter from NARAL, but he'd still say, you know, I am personally against elephants. And then he'd come back to us, and he'd be like, I'm personally
And then he'd talk about his kumquat trees.
Colin Kaepernick is my favorite player. And then he'd come back, and again, he'd say, I'm personally against abortion, but, you know, I'm publicly, or I need, it should be everybody's choice. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we can limit the amount of them, and because they're not good. And I don't say that stuff anymore very often. I
mean, not much.
Most of them are just like, yeah, it's awesome. It's abortastic.
Abortastic?
Abortastic.
That's a good word. That's a good word.
You haven't seen that in too many posters.
No, you really haven't.
You will soon.
You really haven't.
I don't understand this, too. It's like, well, you obviously, by writing this story, believe you have something important to add to society.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think it would be better off without you? You know, I mean, look, there are arguments. Obviously, we would have loved to have aborted Hitler, Stalin, Jeffy. There's a lot of arguments for it. I'm just saying...
Hitler and Stalin.
Yep.
And who else?
Well, there's a lot. Mao. Pol Pot, Jeffy.
Pol Pot, who? Wait,
Idi Amin.
Yeah.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Right.
Jeffy.
You're going to get such flack.
Why are you so mean to Jeffy? How can did you say that he should be aborted?
I know.
I think you said that wrong. He said, why are you being so nice to Jeffy?
Oh,
all you said was you wanted him aborted.
That's what I meant.
And people don't like Jeffy. You know, look. You know, Jeffy, we
try to keep it from him because we're so nice.
You know, we are fans
and
of
we
Jeffy's.
Don't, yeah.
We love him.
We try to keep it, you know, the hate.
And that's why we're the best people in your life.
We do. We try really hard to keep all that stuff from you.
The issue is,
oh my gosh,
the audience does not like it. They do not like Jeffy in any way.
We work really hard to keep some of that from you.
I hate you.
We just get so much of it. Some of it spills out. But we try really hard to keep it.
We saw that at the museum. How about that? At the museum?
Oh, my
gosh. We had the museum, like, thousands of people here walking through the building.
Cow.
We met a lot of them.
Did they
and
hate
almost
him.
Every one of them was like, first of all,
why is Jeffy
get
here?
Jeffy out of here.
Yeah.
Second of all, yeah. why are you so nice to him? This is why he keeps coming back, because you guys are so nice to him. He keeps coming back
and
over
we keep
and
trying
over.
To say, look, we're pretty, you know, I mean, I know we don't always seem like it, we're pretty nice guys, and we try. And they're like, you know, you're too nice.
You're too nice.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
We're, you know, and we're like, we're trying to just be, you know, look, I don't treat it. I don't like having to do this with Jeffy and pointing out all of his flaws. And they say, well, he needs to know about them. And you guys aren't selling them hard enough.
And they say this a lot to us. What if he multiplies? And we say, well, you know.
His kids somehow are great.
And they turn out really, really well.
We don't understand it. But, I mean, you know, I mean...
But they're concerned that you might clone yourself one day when that technology becomes available, and they know that can't happen.
Well, yeah, it's got
to
be over before that. That
yeah.
I think we can all... Jeffy,
we have
Jeffy
to all
can
agree
unite.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think the point there is a pretty serious one about abortion, I think is what
it's
we got.
I don't know why we're so... I mean, today is even...
I will say this.
More sarcastic, maybe, than others?
Yeah, maybe, even.
Possibly.
I will say this, Jeffy. And you, sadly, are the victim of this. I am so infuriated at the world right now that I can't even talk about this stuff sometimes.
I know. I know. That's true.
It's just... I got 70 days of agonizing torture... And then we can all go back to our normal lives under a terrible president. Because that's what we have now, and we still have it now. But 70 more days, and we'll have a new crappy president to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But until we actually have this, our job every day is supposed to talk about this election, which it's impossible to care about, because both candidates are so terrible.
Yeah,
I care about some of the Senate races. Even some of those, I'm not that way. Like, oh, John McCain's in the fight for his life tonight. We didn't even mention it. He's in the primaries tonight. He's going up against Kelly Ward, who is someone I don't know.
He's going to win.
Now, he's going to...
Of course he's going to
He's up by 26 points in the latest
one poll.
The other poll is a Breitbart poll, and he's up 4. I don't know which one to believe. I got a guesstimate out of those two, which one I believe. But maybe Breitbart's right. Maybe he is in the fight for his life, as Meghan McCain pointed out.
Well, they said that about Paul Ryan, and he only won by 70 percentage points.
The exact phrase they used for Ryan.
In the fight for his life!
And I will say
really?
That I don't normally quote Meghan McCain, as I have not been necessarily the biggest fan of Meghan McCain.
Uh-huh.
She did have a good point when she pointed out probably the fight for his life was when he was tortured in Vietnam. That was probably more the fight for his life than this.
Good point.
Which is a fair point to bring up. But again, like, I don't know that there's any evidence that McCain's going to lose. But I have no passion over it. I don't know much about Kelly Ward. You know, I don't really know much about her. She's, she's the other option that's a Republican. That is not John McCain. So that bodes pretty well for her.
It's interesting too because McCain is on the Trump bandwagon.
Yeah, he's actually
so
endorsed.
So why would the Trumpistas even be pissed at him? He's endorsed him.
I don't know. I guess he just didn't do it hard enough.
He doesn't glowingly rave about everything Trump says.
Correct.
However, he's on the Trump bandwagon and has endorsed him. What more do you want? Plus...
Yeah. I mean, even after Trump treated him like crap.
Yes. And said what he said about him, which was... Oh, I like guys who aren't losers who got captured. I like the guys who don't get captured. Yeah, I mean, this guy went through unbelievable things in Vietnam. Say what you will about his, and we have, about his Senate duration, which is way too long.
Oh, he's awful.
This is his fifth term in the Senate. He's going after 30 years in the Senate, and that's way too long, and he sucks. And there was a time maybe when he was more conservative, but that time was a long time ago, and Washington has washed him clean of conservatism. His military record, you can't besmirch. I mean, what he did when he was offered the chance because his dad was a big shot and they wanted to demoralize the rest of the prisoners in the Hanoi Hilton, they offered to send him home. They're going, you get to go home, John. And he said no. And he was there for another 3 freaking years being tortured in that prison with the rest of his guys. Because he knew what they would do left.
It's an amazing story.
It's an amazing story, and you can't take any of that away from this guy. He was a hero.
I will say, I mean,
he was
really
a hero.
The only thing that I can compare it to was Jeffy's service in Grenada.
You shouldn't have brought that up, though. He didn't like to talk about it.
I don't like to talk about it, and it's a little embarrassing that you would. I mean,
embarrassing too.
I mean, are you a hero?
It's embarrassing.
That's really for others to decide, right?
Compare it to John like that. I mean, right. I appreciate it. Thank you. But it, you know.
So, do you think it's a little bit below you to compare it to your? I mean, because you had that incredible experience with John McCain. In comparison to you, I mean,
I'm just happy to have served and stopped communism in the world.
Especially
in the world
on the island of Spice, right? You know, and
particularly that small 4 mile island.
There's no specific size to the horrors of war, Stu. I mean, now you pissed me off.
No. I'm giving you credit here. I just compared you to one of our great military heroes.
There was speaking of Grenada, it was kind of fun during the Olympics, which I know you didn't watch, but there was a sprinter, I think it was a sprinter, from Grenada, and I can't remember what distance he ran, but I'm pretty sure he medaled, and so they were talking about the island of Spice. I thought, wow, this is really cool. I wonder if, hopefully Jeffy's not watching because he doesn't like to be reminded of the island of Spice.
My father-in-law at one point was so mad at a guy that had a battle pin from Grenada.
He was mad at him?
Because it wasn't Grenada, it was something else. He had something that he shouldn't have had. And he got it for a small little service. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but when he was talking to my father-in-law goes, yeah, my son-in-law served in Grenada.
Did he say that?
Oh, yeah. He laughed. He just walked away and goes,
so funny.
I can't take that guy.
You probably know enough about Grenada now to pull it off in normal conversation with the average person. I mean, your service was heroic, is what I meant.
Okay, thank you.
All right. 888-727 back. More patents, too. Coming up.
Oh, this is nice. Leave Jeffy alone. He's special.
Well, I mean, you know, what kind of special are we talking about?
Oh, he's special.
Okay.
He's special. All right, 888-727
back. You can make a case for that.
Oh, yes, you could. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Jeffy, maybe not the healthiest guy in the world. I mean, top 10, sure, but not number one. You know, elite athletes tend to have that territory locked down. And one of the things they're using now is Beats. They actually find Beats to have all these clinical tests that show that the Beats are rich in dietary nitrates, and that's a healthy way to get energy. Now, the best part about Super Beets, which is going to give you all the goodness of beets, and you know that you probably, I mean, you can eat them in fancy salads or something if you want to, I suppose, but then it tastes like beets. Super Beets taste like black cherry. So I think, you know, that pretty much sells them. I also have original with natural apple as well. And, you know, it's one of these things that, you know you need to eat your vegetables. Your mom's been telling you that since you were a kid. And you never do it because you're like us. So use Super Beets as a quick shot. You're done, and you'll love the results of your money back. Give them a call, 800-951-8896, 800-951-8896, or StuLovesBeets.com. StuLovesBeets.com. Check it out now, StuLovesBeets.com.
That Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us, so we don't have to talk anymore.
Oh. All right, Jeffy, go ahead.
Jeffy?
I guess I could find something.
Well, you find something.
I mean, we could talk a little bit about last week we did a I do. Actually, we could talk a little bit about the Cincinnati, the Ohio story, because last week we touched on the heroin overdoses that were in like 30 in over the weekend, and it was being cut with the animal tranquilizer that was more potent than morphine, times more potent than morphine.
It was 10,000 times more.
And whatever, same thing. 10,000.
No, by a factor of 10. Not the same thing.
This past week, we're up over 200 deaths. I mean, it's actually becoming a big epidemic throughout Ohio.
Well, that stuff is really powerful.
West Virginia. I mean, they're asking people, look, we know it's illegal, and we tell you not to do heroin, but don't do heroin. Stop it until we find out where it's coming from.
And they don't know. They don't know who's doing this.
They do not know yet.
So they think it's a dealer poisoning a certain supply?
Yeah.
Why would you kill your customers?
Well, because there's plenty more customers. They don't care. They're just because if you don't die from it, you know, you're enjoying
the
high.
I found in the past drug dealers to be somewhat profit focused.
Yeah.
I don't think, do they say things like, we can always get more customers?
Not usually.
And try to kill someone else's
customers. In large measure, that's why the Mexican drug lords don't kill Americans. They don't want to. They don't kill their customer base.
Right,
and their customer base is here. They'll kill Mexicans all day, every day. And they have, and to the tune of like 4,000 a year in northern Mexico.
And they'll kill,
but they don't kill Americans. As a rule,
they will kill illegal immigrants in the United States from Mexico in America.
Yes.
But they don't typically kill Americans.
I mean, that
in America.
Happened in one of our suburbs in the DFW a couple of years ago. Yeah. Remember that?
Yes.
It's executed right at a beautiful shopping area that is very upscale.
Yeah.
And they drove by and shot him in the head and took off and didn't catch the guy for a long time.
Yeah,
but they finally did.
When they talked about Phoenix being the murder capital of the world, the defense by many on the left where it was,
they're all just drug dealers. And they're illegal immigrants and drug dealers.
It's like, those are people, right? I understand that the danger might not be hitting the suburbs as much, although it could at any time. I mean, obviously, these guys, the right, you know, who knows? You know, Donald Trump starts building a wall, they might freak out. That is not a reason to not build the wall, by the way. But, you know, you don't pander to freaking drug dealers. But who knows? I mean, something could easily change that. Hillary Clinton could easily do something that, you know, infuriates the cartels and makes them come do those things. And then we've obviously had a long time war with them, but it's been typically fought across borders. And, you know, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God we've taken the fight to them, essentially.
Yeah.
And you know, with the assistance of some foreign governments as well. I mean, and they, you know, Mexico over the past, you know, 10 years has stepped their game up as far as going after drug dealers. It's not still to the level that I would want it, but they've gone a long way. I mean, how many times have we read stories about these, you know, poor mayors and police chiefs that just get executed after week after week after week? I mean, it's because they're trying to take it seriously. It just, you know, it's very difficult to deal with.
A decade ago or so, there was a border city where nine
in a row
had been murdered. Nine sheriffs in a row. It got to the point where no men in town wanted it. And finally, it seems like, if I remember the story correctly, some woman stepped in and took it over. And she, because nobody would run for the office, nobody wanted the office, she said, well, okay, I'll do it. And it seems like she was killed.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. I mean, another.
They touted her as great,
right.
Wonderful. They were proud. Finally, somebody stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a woman to do a man's job.
Yeah, and then they killed her. Yeah.
They just don't care.
Really bad.
Yeah, really bad.
Really bad.
And just as a side note, according to the story, it's 100,000 times stronger.
So you were wrong by a factor of 100.
Yeah, not 10.
Because the story last week, and I guarantee you it said 10,000 times.
Okay, I'm just saying what this story said.
100,000 times stronger?
I know. It doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't.
I feel like heroin, too. I don't know if I'm just, like, you know, completely sheltered from this particular culture.
I
admit that. I mean, Pat and I might be the two most sheltered people from drug culture in America. So you are drug culture. Yeah, you are.
So
I always come to you with these questions. But, like, to me, like, you can sell me on the idea of smoking pot in a recreational way. You could probably, if you're a real partier, sell me on the idea of cocaine, right? Like, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but, like, I understand the mindset right. of somebody who does cocaine recreationally.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin? It seems completely nuts to ever even try it one time.
And it was that way for a long time. Throughout, you know, like, the Midwest and Middle America. But since cocaine prices started to rise, the heroin prices dropped.
Okay.
And so some of the people like that mindset who said, you know, who wanted the buzz, they wanted to get high, but, you know,
heroin's
it was cheaper.
Cheap.
Yeah, it was cheaper than the heroin.
Okay.
Why is cocaine so much more expensive?
They were just putting a higher
supply and demand.
Yeah, I mean, the poppy seeds in Afghanistan are growing.
Easy to come by?
Real easy to come by.
Okay. Is Afghanistan the only place where poppy seeds grow like that? Because I don't think so.
No, it's not. But they have a serious trade.
Okay.
Well, and also, I mean, you know, much of the country is run by warlords still. I mean, you know, so
and that's what they use for
to fund
income.
Yeah.
So
that's I always find that to be interesting. Most of my drug knowledge came from Breaking Bad. that's
and I'm sure that's all accurate.
It is it was a documentary about a man named Walter Roy, who's a teacher.
Okay.
And actually,
Did he get sick or something?
He was sick. He had cancer,
right?
And wound up breaking to the bad side.
That happens. So it's sad when it happens. Like that.
Over multiple seasons.
You know what? Speaking of drugs, you know what else is happening? People are stealing medication from their pets.
What now?
People are stealing medication.
From
their
pets. Why? Why?
Because they can. And the pets can't do much about it.
Like a bite.
Sometimes the pets can't even read the label. And what? So they don't even know it's theirs.
Well, it's their fault. Get educated, you know?
So, yeah, right? That's what I think. Jeffy, what do you think? The use of pet meds was so unexpected, scientists didn't even ask about it in their survey of unprescribed antibiotic use, but people must have done it frequently. They actually wrote it into their answers saying it was one way to get off prescription antibiotics. I would imagine because your pet's probably not getting a lot of Percodan, right? It's not getting Percocet or Percodan or whatever.
But the preppers, the early preppers, that's what they were doing, because especially in the last few years, now you see they're trying to catch up with stories like this, but the preppers would, instead of trying to get prescriptions for meds from medical physicians because the government said, no, we can't write that many prescriptions ahead. You can't have that much medicine. So they would get them from the veterinarian.
From their vet.
Yeah. And so they just take the backlog of the meds from the vets.
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Well, he always knows about
this. Yeah, he does.
I'm just telling you.
Without fail. You are so well-educated on this topic. I mean, it's unbelievable. Every time one of these stories comes up, Jeffy knows exactly how they do it, exactly where the profits are.
Every time.
It is actually incredible. Like, if he's not running a business in which he's selling drugs, which we all know he's not.
Wink, wink.
Right.
Wink, wink.
Nod.
He must be studying this all the time. You must be, like, I mean, literally reading
textbooks. I just know the government is out to get us. That's what I know, Stu.
Okay.
All right. We'll go with that. Of the randomly selected adults in Houston, 5% reported already using antibiotics from their pets within the last year. 14% stored them at home in case of an emergency from their pet.
That's a lot.
And 25.4% said they intended to use antibiotics in the future.
Who the hell intends to use
from their pet?
Pet antibiotics in the future.
Oh, no, man. Yeah, I'm going to save those and use them later.
I've never actually taken drugs for my pet or stored them, but I do plan on starting that in the near future.
What? Screw my dog. I don't care if he dies from whatever bacterial infection he has.
That feels like
whatever.
It's one of those things like
it's weird.
The people reading the study are like, I had never thought of that before. And then that made them say, yeah, in the future, I guess I will do that. I mean, a lot of it is the same. I know we just put one of our dogs, who's 16 years old and had cancer, got a specific, like a chemotherapy drug for dogs, specifically for dogs. It's like the first one they've ever developed that's actually chemo for dogs. So they used to always use human medicine.
Wow.
But I mean, if you have cancer and you can't afford the cancer medicine and your dog has cancer, are you getting the doggy cancer medicine and giving it a whirl? Probably.
I'm guessing the dog cancer medicine isn't covered by insurance. Would I guess correctly?
You would, Graham, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Is that expensive?
Depending on, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it working?
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah, she's doing pretty well, Phoebe.
Oh, good.
Doing pretty well. I mean,
what is she, like 48 years old?
She is 16.
16. Very close to 48.
And it's coming up on 17.
Wow.
She is a pug. So, pugs don't do anything.
I mean, did you consider putting her to sleep?
No.
No.
Not for an instant. I've given him a hard time enough to over the years. Oh, yeah. There's not a chance that's happening.
I mean, we had a run-in recently with her health, which was.
But if she was in obvious pain, obviously you would.
There is some time you know, obviously have to deal with those sorts of things.
At that point, before that happens, take the meds. So that you've got them in your back pocket. And then, and she's obviously in a lot of pain. She needs a script. And then take her back.
See, again, you've thought this out.
Yes. A little too much.
A little too much.
A little too much. So. All right. 888-727 back. More patents, too. Coming up. And she is doing better, though.
She is, yeah. She's still
remission.
Yeah,
we know.
Yeah, cancer. She's fine on.
Really?
Yeah, she's had other issues. She's still
blind. Yeah.
She's pretty much blind and definitely deaf, and only has one eye left. But outside of that, she's doing pretty good.
Beck. It's Pat and Stu. Just to update you on the Grenada thing I was talking about. I'm sorry to bring it up again, Jeffy. I know that's painful to you because you don't like to hear about the Island of Spice.
I thought we were through with this.
But well, it reminded me that the Island of Spice did pretty well at the Olympic Games. They won a total of a medal.
Nice.
They won a medal.
Gold or
no? They won a silver, right, which is pretty good. Yeah. Guy named what was his name? Karani James, silver, took silver in the men's 400-meter sprint, which is, you know, it's pretty good.
Great, yeah.
For an island of 106,000 people, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
It's great.
888-727-BECK. All right. Now, we mentioned yesterday.
You know what? They're welcome. You know, for the island, they're welcome.
You
brought it up again. Now I'm.
All right, now you're pissed.
You know what, Jeffy?
What are they welcome for?
They're welcome for their freedom brought to them by me.
Brought to them by you?
Well, and the United States government.
Okay, all right.
And the other soldiers that were there with me.
Right, sure.
You know what, Jeffy? No one gave you a medal for your service.
Right.
No one did.
I didn't want one, Stu.
You didn't ask for one.
You didn't ask for one, nor did you do anything to merit one. So, another interesting part of that story. By the way, speaking of sovereign nations, did you know Texas was once a sovereign nation?
I did know that.
You know it's going to be one again soon?
I hope so.
If it's going to be, it better be soon.
Seriously, that's the only way to save us, is if we split off and become our own.
And that's not going to happen.
President Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Of the Republic of Texas.
I think it's over 50 or 60% of Republicans, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, they're like, yeah, let's just split from the nation. We really don't need to be part of that anymore. And, of course, Texas really doesn't. I mean,
no.
You know, there's things I like about America, certainly, but I would be more comfortable, surely, with the Texas Constitution and what they'd come up with for a national constitution than you know, what we have, you know, the system that we currently have in place.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, blows.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the Constitution anymore.
No.
I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, Texas was its own sovereign nation between 1836 and 1846. The Republic of Texas, of course. During that period, Texas tried to make its mark on the world stage by establishing a diplomatic presence overseas. They had an embassy in Paris, complete with a Texan ambassador and a group in... here we go. Look. There we go. This is telling you the story.
1836 to 1845. Republic of Texas even had diplomatic representation overseas.
Stu just said that.
Yeah. I thought I heard that. It sounded familiar. 1842, Texas opened an embassy in Paris. That's kind of cool. Complete with a Texan ambassador to France. What was his name? Who was
Bill.
Texas also opened a legation, a less formal embassy in London. It was on the second floor of a building on St. James Street. That's fascinating. It was open for 3 years before the U.S. absorbed Texas in 1845. Texas diplomats left with $160 in unpaid debts to their landlords. In 1986, a group of Texans visited the main tenants of the building, a wine merchant who's still there, and gave them the overdue $160. Not worth quite as much by then, by the way. The debt was paid in the Republic of Texas bills, of course, which
that's
is kind of
cool.
Well, that's cool.
So it was probably not even spendable money. Okay.
We screwed those bastards, didn't we? Losers.
Yes, sir.
Those old debts wind up becoming interesting stories sometimes. For example, there's a story of a couple of nations who did a lot of business together. There's a bunch of money that flowed back and forth between these nations. And then a bunch of money was paid for some goods that were going to be returned from one of these nations. And before they could receive the goods, they had a change in government.
Okay.
We did not want to deliver the goods anymore. It was our military weapons to Iran. And then later on, many years later, several decades later, we decided to pay them back, shockingly, on the same day that a couple of hostages were released.
Totally coincidental.
Like, we were just like, hey, we waited 40 years. What about next Tuesday? Wait a minute. That's the day we were going to release these hostages.
It was a shocking coincidence.
It really was stunning.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually what happened was they gave us, I think, $1.6 billion or $1.2 billion to pay for weapons that we were at the time supplying to the previous government. They had the Islamic Revolution there. We were like, we're not sending any more weapons, and we're not going to give you this cash back either. So we held on to it all that time, and that's the money that led to the big bribe that we just sent to pay off Iran to get the terrorists out. I mean, to get the hostages out from the terrorists. So it'd be weird to get the terrorists out. I don't know why we would want to do that. You said terrorists, right?
We finally got our terrorists back.
Wait, no, we didn't want the terrorists. We wanted the hostages. Oh, crap. Sorry. So there you go. We also wanted to tell you about Michael Jackson and how he bought the entire Beatles catalog. This is a classic story. These guys were good buddies. Look at that. They're smiling.
Waving. What song they did? Black and White? Was it? No.
No.
Ebony and Ivory? No, yeah. That was Stevie Wonder.
Well, that was Stevie Wonder.
They did The Girl Is Mine. I know that for one.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they did something else together, too. They did a couple of songs together.
Dancing in the Streets.
No, I don't think it was Dancing in the Streets. Yeah.
What about that Christmas song that Paul McCartney did?
Wonderful Christmas.
I love that.
Having a wonderful Christmas. That wasn't Michael Jackson. But he did do this song.
Right. But
Hard Day's Night, too. He did that one.
Yeah, okay. There's another one. That was in the era.
Another day.
Say, say, say.
Say, say, say.
Say, say,
there you go.
And The Girl Is Mine, right? So they became pretty good friends.
Yeah.
Which is weird because maybe McCartney is weird too, but Michael Jackson, just a weird guy, you know? You wouldn't think they'd be close buddies, would you? Is it just my impression of McCartney that he's not as weird as Michael Jackson?
Because one is white and one is black.
That's the racist. Only reason.
The only detectable reason other than pedophilia is
mostly,
their race.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And
I love the children. I love the 12-year-old children. And they sleep in my bed.
There are lots of men sleep with their children.
It was Bill Bradley that asked him the question, do you know any other 45-year-old men who have 12-year-old boys in bed with them that are not their own children? Of course. Of course. Really? How many 45-year-old men do you know that sleep with other people's 12-year-old children?
I know none.
None?
Is there?
I won't even ask. It's not a good idea.
He's got a whole network set up, so don't ask him.
So anyway, McCartney tried to... when Jackson and McCartney first met... He became friendly in the mid-70s when according to Jackson, McCartney tried to sell him a song called Girlfriend for his upcoming solo album. Although it took a couple of years, McCartney released the song.
Suddenly,
first
he couldn't
Wings.
Come up with that one on his own.
Couldn't do it. No.
You know.
The two hit it off, and over the next few years, they collaborated on some duets. During the time, McCartney reportedly explained to Jackson, this is exactly the story I've heard, so this is kind of fun, explained to Jackson about the lucrative nature of music publishing. For complex legal reasons, the Beatle had lost his stake in Northern Songs, the publishing company he and Lennon set up in the late 60s. Because he wasn't profiting from his own songs' publishing rights, McCartney told Jackson about how he'd been purchasing other artists' catalogs, like Buddy Holly's, as a business investment. Now, Buddy Holly was dead, so that's a little different. And I'm sure McCartney wasn't thinking, well, if I tell him this, he's going to try to buy my catalog out from under me. But that's exactly what happened. McCartney explained to the future King of Pop that whoever owns the rights to a song, song's lyrics and composition earns royalties every time the song's played, whether it's on a movie, TV, radio, commercial, or a concert. According to McCartney, Jackson then jokingly told him, one day I'll own your songs. Oh, shama. McCartney wasn't pleased to learn that, sure enough, his friend Michael Jackson bought the rights to his songs. Jeez, man. He wrote letters to Jackson about the purchase. Jackson dismissed them all by saying it was just business. He won't even answer my letters, so we haven't talked, and we don't have a great relationship, McCartney said in 2001. That's amazing. That's really too bad.
And he sold. He wound up selling it. In 1995, sold 50% to Sony for $95 million. That created the music publishing company Sony ATV. Today, Sony ATV owns the rights to millions of songs, from the Beatles to Rolling Stones, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift. March 2016, 7 years after Jackson's death, Sony ATV agreed to pay $750 million to Jackson's estate to buy out the other 50% share of his company.
However, I think it seems to me that McCartney somehow bought back the rights to his songs. I think McCartney now owns the rights to most of his songs.
I'm curious. I mean, because I had always thought, my impression of the of how he lost control initially of these songs was, you know, he started out in the business, he signed some contract that didn't, you know, work, and the record company.
As everybody does when they're first starting out.
All the time. I mean, that's part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually started his own company for music publishing. They still lost the rights.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Apple, and they signed some pretty good acts, like, you know, Badfinger was on the Apple label. Are you familiar with Badfinger?
Yeah,
If you want it, come and get it.
Yeah.
Anytime I can get it. In fact, McCartney wrote that song for them. Day After Day, Badfinger, Baby Blue. No, he's probably not ringing. You probably know him if you heard him. But anyway, they had their own publishing company, and he still lost his rights, which is bizarre.
Because this says, for complex legal reasons, the Beatle had lost his stake in Northern Songs, the publishing company. So that was at the precursor.
They bought Apple vice versa. Something happened there. And I don't know how it all transpired where McCartney lost the rights to that, but that's a real shame, and that shouldn't happen. Happen to people. It really sucks.
In some cases, it sucks. I mean, in other cases, like, for example, we own the footage of Jeffy reacting as if he's surprised at what we just said.
Well,
that is our footage. So whenever we don't want Jeffy to be here, we can just play the, hey, here's Jeffy. Look at this footage. We own this. Come on. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, oh, that's surprising.
What? What are you guys saying? Oh, yeah, what?
Come on. And then he has to turn his mic on.
Your mic's off. Mm-hmm. Your mic's off, stupid.
Come on. And then he puts
and
the glasses back on.
You're fat. Yeah, so just go back to what you were doing. Okay. All right, more Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
It was a good purchase. I mean, we paid $175 million for it.
Yeah.
Although we did not pay it to Jeffy. We didn't
pay it to each other.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah. We have broken even on the deal. Talking about it.
Amazing fact of the day.
Yes.
Most amazing fact to me,
shocked.
At least.
We have to know.
Since I'm not a fan of the band Coldplay.
Yeah, and I am. I wouldn't say I'm following everything they're releasing these days, but like when their early days, the first like say four albums, I was really into it.
Really?
I like them. And so I saw them
What's his name? He was married to Gwyneth Paltrow, right?
Yeah, yes.
Chris, super liberal guy.
Chris Martin,
yeah.
And so I like them as a band. I've seen them live a couple times, and they're a better band live than they are on their CDs. They're one of those type of bands.
And they were just in town over the weekend.
And they put on a show, right?
Show.
They spend a fortune on these shows. It's a really impressive thing to see. So I have tickets. My wife got me tickets for my birthday to go, and they came in Dallas last week.
Look at this.
Your birthday was in February.
That's when I got the tickets, and it was a little waiting.
Oh, you had to wait a long time for your present
to
pay
off. That's true.
You had something to look forward to, though, for
a while. I thought so.
That's good.
So they are playing at Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium.
What were there, 9 people in it? That must have looked like an AT&T
Stadium. They had it cut right in half.
Even as a fan.
Yeah, they put up the curtains for 98% of the venue.
Right. Yeah. That's honestly
I've
what I was thinking.
Last time
they were in town, this is 3 or 4 years ago, I saw them at American Airlines. No. They just played the Super Bowl. I just played American Airlines Arena, right? Or American Airlines Center here in Dallas.
And it was a good
crowd. Yeah, good crowd. Sold out.
Okay.
But in between that concert and today.
I mean, that's what, 18,000?
Yeah, 18 maybe for a concert, 18, 20,000 maybe.
So how'd they do at Cowboys Stadium?
So in between that time and today, they've had no real gigantic hits. Right?
Actual sellout is maybe, for music, I would say 70 or 80,000?
Yeah, maybe I would say 70, maybe 60 even, but a lot
of people. That's like a band at their zenith.
Right, it's where... Justin Timberlake, Adele, Taylor Swift, Kenny Chesney, those people go play there, right?
Yes.
So I go there expecting, I'm like...
U2 might sell out.
Maybe. So I'm thinking, I'm going to see, probably, 60% full, maybe. So you got the American Airlines Center and a little
full.
More. Right. Sold out, floor to ceiling. All the way up to the rafters, every single seat.
At the electrifying Dallas concert.
I mean, and they...
That's amazing.
Dump money into these shows.
That is amazing.
Every song had a new crazy gimmick, with different lights, fireworks. The second song of the entire concert was the confetti gun that you see at the end of every football game.
Yeah.
Covering Dallas Cowboys. I mean, how much would that cost? Just that. Of doing confetti over the entire stadium.
Wow.
They gave everybody these, and they did this last time they were here too. They gave everyone a bracelet.
The
bracelet lights up and it's all RFID
controlled. Saw the picture from them.
So they can do it in sections, and every song has a different color theme, and some of them blink and some of them don't, and sometimes they wave across the entire audience. Sometimes half of it turns off and half of it's on.
That's pretty cool.
It's really incredible to see. And they just pour money into the show. I mean, I can't even imagine how expensive it was. And we were sitting in, I would say okay seats. We were far away from the stage, but on the sort of that club level of Cowboy Stadium. So we were far away from the concert, and those tickets were still $80. So, I mean, they brought in a lot of cash for this concert.
What was the lineup?
I don't even know who the opener was. I didn't see any of the opener, but it was somebody who was has a hit or something on radio now, but I don't even know who it was. And it's not like they've been this. They have not gone. They did have the Super Bowl, which that's going to get you.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big gig. It's the biggest gig ever. But other than that, really, they haven't. I mean, they've released some stuff, but it hasn't been hugely popular, at least to my knowledge.
Selling out a 70,000 seat stadium at this point of their career.
Yeah, and
that's
impressive. Good show. Man.
That's impressive.
Even if you're only a borderline, now those guys are all right. They're worth seeing live because they're better live than they are even on CBS.
All right. So are we, by the way.
Oh yeah.
See us live someday.